cold night, it's tempting to stay in, and yet I'm thankful for those who are able to get out that we could come together to study. The divine revelation said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. And so tonight, as we make our study, we want to remember that we're in the presence of God and that this study can be profitable. If you're visiting with us, I want you to feel welcome and encourage you to get your Bible. Make sure that what we're taught is the truth. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. When you read the divine book of God, you'll find that different writers use different words to express truth at times. You can go to the Hebrew letter that we studied this morning, and you'll find the Hebrew writer used the word better. And he talked about a better covenant, and you can find different times that that writer expresses that life in Christ is better. Or you could look at the writings of Peter in 1st and 2nd Peter, and you'll find that when he penned those epistles, that his mind was upon the word precious. And he talked about the precious Christ and the precious blood. And he talked about precious faith and trials. John, when he wrote his epistles, talked about lives. But this evening we want to begin a series of studies from the Roman letter. And what I'd like for us to examine is the word that Paul used about 15 times in this epistle, and that is the heart. When Paul is writing to the church at Rome, he's concerned about the heart of man. And a careful study of this will be of great help in clearing up some of the misunderstanding that is amongst the people of our day about the religious heart of man. And so in our first study, I encourage you to take your Bible and look in the Roman letter and the first chapter. And in Romans chapter 1, look if you will at verse 21. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the divine record said, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." If you have your Bible, underscore foolish hearts. And that's the first observation we want to make tonight. That Paul, in dealing with man being justified by faith, shows this universe needs a righteousness of God. Then we hear of Paul speaking of the conditions of their heart. And they're not acting righteous, but they're acting foolish. He said their heart was foolish. It was darkened. It was hardened. And this, of course, is referring to the Gentile world in their condition. But that raises a question. Why were they in that condition? Well, let's look back at what he says in verse 21. "Because although they knew God," underscore that, they knew God. That is, God had been made known to them. God had been taught to them. They understood who God was. Go back to verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." He said God's wrath has been revealed. So here you find that there were people that held truth in unrighteousness. Thus truth had been revealed to them. History had spoken to them about the fact that God's wrath had been brought upon evil. And that's always been the case. You can go back to the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter. And you'll find in Genesis chapter 6, when God saw that the mind of man was upon evil continuously, God sent the flood to destroy man, save Noah and his family. Then you can turn to the book of Genesis and the 18th and 19th chapter. And you'll find where Sodom and Gomorrah, those two cities, were engaged in lustful thinking and foolishness and acting in an ungodly and in a way that was unrighteous. And God destroyed those cities. Truth also had been made known to them, and they resisted the truth. They suppressed the truth. But then notice something else. Look in your Bible in verse 20. Truth was not only been revealed, but verse 20 tells us truth has been revealed in creation. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." truth has been made known. And there is strong evidence of the God we believe in and the God we serve. So when we come back to verse 21 and look at this situation, they knew God, they saw His works, and yet they were guilty of sin. They did not glorify God. That is, they did not obey God. They did not keep God's commandments. They were not thankful for the opportunity of knowing and being able to obey God. And Paul said, I'll tell you what they are. They're without excuse in verse 20. And in verse 21, he said, they're futile in mind and foolish in heart. I thought about that statement. Their hearts were foolish. And consider the result of that condition. They professed to be wise. Look at that at verse 21. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. They professed that they were the wise people of that day, the intellectual giants, and yet God said in their own wisdom they were really foolish. And God here professes them to be fools. Usually one that do not attend and know God can come up with their own theories. And that is what they did here. They made false gods and worshiped them instead of the true and the living God. They professed to be wise, and yet, my friend, they had rejected what creation and what the Creator had revealed to them. Look, if you will, at verse 24, or verse 25. In verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Now then, think about that in today's terms. What about today? Are there not people whose hearts are of the same way of these individuals? They have the same kind of heart. They have the same kind of condition. And yet they're without excuse. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Colossian letter and the first chapter. And in Colossians chapter 1, notice what Paul said in verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. People know the truth. The problem is a lot of people exchange the truth for a lie. They're willing to trade what God has said for what culture says, for what society says, for what some college professor says, or for what they feel or what they think. How many times has someone said, well, I think God wants this for me. But they don't go and see what the truth is from the Bible. They just go on what they feel. I'll tell you, feelings can mislead you. And a lot of people are led by how they feel. They're led by what they're told. And they never investigate God's Word for themselves. And I'll tell you, my friend, only a foolish heart would not glorify God today. And what I mean by that is spiritually blind. Wise in our own sight. Thinking that we know more than God. But then that brings up a second thing. Look, if you will, in verse 24. Go back and look at the second part of what he said. In verse 21, he said they had a foolish heart. But let's look at something in verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves. Look at that second word. Underscore, lust of their hearts. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he was concerned about foolish hearts that had exchanged the truth of God for a lie, who had suppressed the truth, who knew who God was and did not yet glorify Him, and now he's concerned about lustful hearts. And notice what the divine record says about the lustful heart. And this really strikes at the heart of man in a strong way. He gave them up. Look at that. God gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them over. What a strong statement. God was not willing. But when people are willing to live in sin and turn from God, then they reach a state where God gives them up. Now, just what did He give them up to? The uncleanness and lust of their own heart. They were allowed to be swept away by their own filth of sin and do as they please. Well, what was that? Look, if you will, in verse 25, we've already said they changed the truth for the lie. But look at verse 26. God gave them up. That's the second time He says that. What are you giving them up for, God? Vile passions. That goes along with the lustful heart. The vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting. Look at that, three times. God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them over. To what? A lustful heart, uncleanness, the lowest form of sin. He said, to their vile passions. Here were individuals that were acting abnormal in their lust. They changed what God had made. When God made man and God made woman, He made it where man would be with woman, not woman with woman or man with man. And that is defined as sin. I don't care what society calls it. I don't care what culture calls it. God said that's not how He created us. He created man for woman and woman for man. And to leave that, He said, is vile. He said that is sin. That is debauchery. That is being debased. And I understand this much, my friend. God gave them up to a debased mind or a reprobate mind. And look what God allowed them to do. Now, just look at beginning at verse 28. And think about this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and He gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now look at that. They knew what they were doing were wrong. They knew the judgment of God. There are people tonight in this auditorium that believe that there is a God. They believe they'll stand in judgment of God, and yet they still haven't made their life right with God. And He says, God will give you up. And I think about that statement in verse 32. They know, and He says, and even that they practice. And there's some who did not even so much as practice, but they approved of those who practiced it. Someone may say, I'm not a homosexual, but I don't see what's wrong with it. If you approve of the action, my friend, that's the same as being engaged, He said in verse 32. He said, if you approve of those who practice it, then you are being an individual that what? Knows the righteous judgment of God, but ignores it. And He says, people have left God out of their reasoning. Now then, in our day, is that not true? Whatever the sin may be, whether it be adultery, whether it be strife, whether it be envy, whether it be hatred, look at the list He gives of those things. Whatever the sin is, in our day and time, you can mark this down. When we become consumed with sin, it's because we've left God out. And that's a pathetic picture to see. But secondly, think about the age of shame. when history was recorded and you look at what he is writing to the people in Rome, what a shameful history. But what do you think is going to be said about our country? Oh, we could talk about great events in the past, but I'll tell you, there's also some shameful things. But then I want to ask you about your life. When your life comes to an end and you've written your epistle, what can they say about you? Did you live according to your lust, or did you live to the glory of God? Did you live so you could be with God, or has God given you up? Abandoned by God. What a terrible thing. And that shows that God respects man's desires. There is judgment going to come to those who've abandoned Him. He judged them. He gave them up. And I want to know about our heart. In the end, you'll show the desire of your heart. And I'll tell you what we need to do when we read Romans 1. We need to make sure that we don't have a foolish heart. And we need to make sure we don't have a lustful heart. What was it Jesus said? Look with me one last passage. Look back in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus was teaching that great sermon and Jesus was preaching to the people, look at what He says. He says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now watch the next one. "Blessed are the pure in heart." Why? "They shall see God." That's the kind of heart we need to have if we want to see God. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized into Christ, or you need to be restored, we pray that you'll have a pure heart and come.